I'm Ashley Eicher.
I'm Hunter Kelly.
And welcome to an all new episode of the All Our Favorite People podcast. You guys, today's conversation is so much fun. Hardy is with us today and well, we just love him.
We do love him. So his album is called A Rock. I like to call it A Rock for reasons that you'll hear.
Literally, I keep thinking A Rock.
A Rock.
Because you said that. I have to remind myself it's A Rock.
But he is really somebody, he's setting the tone for what's happening in country music right now because he is a writer on so many hits, including Blake Shelton's God's Country,
yep,
which is turning into a TV show. But also just as an artist over the past few years, I've really enjoyed watching him evolve. And I started out loving his song Rednecker and then his song He Went to Jared with Morgan Wallen. I celebrate that song. And for me, it's one of those songs that got away. It should have been a big hit. But now he's got One Beer out there with Lauren Elena and Devin Dawson and just really firing it up and rocking out on this new record, Ashley, isn't it?
I mean, I love this album. It's so fun to listen to. I was listening to it again over the weekend. Hardy's just so fun in general. I mean, I love talking about the Beer Olympics party that he and his girlfriend Kaylee just threw.
Yeah, he's living life. He's living some big life, y'all.
Living. It was a socially distanced Beer Olympics. Let's clarify.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was so fun to talk to him about that. And then my personal favorite, the Recoupables, which is the softball team that he is playing on right now with Jordan Davis, Chris Lane, Morgan Wallen, Ernest. I mean,
it's a real all-star.
Right now.
It's a real all-star team.
They're starting to get press.
Yeah. Hopefully him talking about it here will really blow it up. I mean,
I know.
The next big thing.
But this is actually my first time sitting down to interview Hardy. And I think the world of him. This was so much fun. And I can't wait for us to have him on the show again. But until then,
listen to it, y'all.
Let's start.
It's Hardy. Yeah. Enjoy it.
This is Hardy.
What's up? What are y'all up to?
Well, I'm having some tea. I've rediscovered tea, like hot tea, for a little pick me up, you know?
I heard that tea can have as much caffeine as coffee.
100%.
Oh, yeah.
So I got this, it's called Constant Comment. You can find it at Kroger. But it's like kind of like has some like citrus and kind of anyway, but it's real good. But yeah, I mean, it's a thing. It's why the British have tea time. It's like a little afternoon pick me up, you know?
Oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
I love that you're having tea and I'm drinking a Sonic Coke and water.
I mean, this was just me wanting to travel in my mind.
Right.
Hey, listen, I stopped at the Mapco yesterday and got a Coke and a Snickers, so. You know.
Well, that makes me feel a little bit better.
I know. So your Mapco reference in Unapologetically Country as Hell, I felt that yesterday. I felt
all right,
it hard.
I love it. Yeah, and a Coke and a Snickers, that can be considered a country thing, too, especially if you called it a Coke and it wasn't actually a Coke. You know?
I know, if it was like a Dr. Pepper.
Right.
Well, I like to put peanuts in my Coke. Like, you know, I learned that from the Barman Drill George Jones song.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you do that, doesn't it explode?
No, it does not.
That's Mentos in a Diet Coke.
Mentos and a Diet Coke.
No, the peanuts. And we're starting recording now. I feel like we're off and running. We're talking about peanuts.
Anyway,
and the
Hardy's
Coke.
Here. We should just say Hardy's
here. Hey, Hardy's here. No, but peanuts, what it does is it's like that sweet and sour kind of thing. There's a little bit of a savory feel from the peanuts in the Coke. I mean, it's country as hell, but it's really high class palate wise.
Yeah, for sure. I did it growing up. I think one of my best friend's dads did it. You know what? I think I'm going to go do that later today because that's a really good idea.
Yeah. I mean, it's real tasty and, you know, and I've been thinking about George Jones a lot anyway. So
it feels a little nostalgic to do that.
Yeah. Why does it? Even if you've never done it. Why?
Well, because I think it seems like something like whittling, like that our country grandparents would have done, you know?
Yeah.
I think it makes me think of my grandparents' farm where we all grew up and like running around with my cousins on the farm. Like that's kind of what it reminds me of. Hardy, what does it remind you of?
Definitely. When my friend's dad would do it, we were always going fishing. So I think it would remind me of something to do with fishing, either like in the car ride on the way there or just the actual act of fishing itself.
Yeah.
Which you've been doing a lot of fishing this summer, haven't you?
Yeah. Especially the early part of the summer. I mean, I fish just like around Nashville, but I went to Mexico. I caught a marlin, which is pretty cool.
That's intense.
That's awesome.
It was pretty intense. It's the hardest I've worked out all year.
Like seriously, that's some muscle power. Like, what was it a struggle to get it on the boat?
Yeah, it took me an hour. And it was frustrating because, like, the way when you catch big fish like that, what happens is you get it to the boat and it sees the boat, and then it goes just as far as you did as it did the first time. So, like, then you know, if not further. So every time you get it to the boat, you're wondering if this is the time that he's going to, you know, be tired. And so it did that five times. And by the last time, I was like, if this thing makes another run, I'm going to have it was tough. But it's just, I don't know. It's one of those things where I'm like, I'm not going to let a freaking fish.
You can't let it win.
Win. It's a fish. So we got it in, but it was fun.
Yeah. So I used to go fishing. My aunt and uncle have a stocked pond, but I'd always hate it. You know, I go with my grandparents, but I never wanted to touch the fish. I never got over it.
I will say I recently hadn't been fishing since I was a kid with my grandparents and cousins until, like, a couple years ago, this guy took me on a date fishing.
Oh, that's it. That's awesome.
And I was like, okay, if someone took me on a date fishing again that I, you know, actually wanted to be with long term, like, that would be great. But it was so fun because it was something different and it reminded me of my childhood.
Was it successful?
Well, I mean, it was a fun day, but I'm not dating that person anymore. So I wouldn't say that it was successful long term.
No.
I meant actually just the fishing trip. Did you catch fish?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I was ready to get into feelings.
Yeah, that's the running joke between me and all my cousins is that it for a long time was just me and the boys, and I always caught more fish than them. And so my grandfather would always say, well, clearly you're holding your mouth right.
That
was,
yeah, like, holding your mouth right. I've heard that for sure.
Yeah. And I was like, no, maybe I'm just really good.
I think it was just holding your mouth right.
Okay. Well,
did you just get in there when you were a kid though, Hardy, did you just get in there and really, like, we're just fine touching the fish and the worms and stuff?
Yeah. I just never thought about it.
You never thought about it? I don't know. I had such a phobia.
I mean, everybody's got their thing. But, yeah. No, it never bothered me ever, any of that. I used to catch snakes when I was a kid and do the whole thing, and it just never really thought about it.
What was it like growing up where you grew up? Like, was it a neighborhood, or was it what was your house like as a kid?
Yeah, so I grew up, like, in the county, but there were these, I don't really know another way to describe it, but in the county, like, out in the country, there would be, like, communities, right, in, like, neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in one of those, but I spent most of my time, my family, we have our hunting property in, like, a small little camp house and a little pond, you know, 15-20 miles away from where I grew up, and so that's where I spent pretty much all of my time. Between, by the time I could drive to, you know, when I moved here, I was always out there fishing or hunting or setting traps or, like, looking for arrowheads or just something like that.
Well, it shows in your, like, in your music that's, like, actually lived experience, you know, and it definitely comes through in your music. But I gotta say though, the way that you write songs, there's, like, so many details. I'm just amazed at how you're able to describe these things that we've seen all our lives growing up in different ways. You know, like going hunting, like I was thinking about in Unapologetically Country as Hell, which, you know, I love your shout out to Mapco, but I've got a freezer full of good aim. Instead of saying, like, I got a freezer full of, like, the game that I've shot and killed hunting, you're like, I got a freezer full of good aim. Like, I savor just that line in the way that you wrote it. So were you a really observant kid? Like, where did this all start?
I don't know. I need to ask my parents. I don't know. I've always been really good, or just, I guess I would say I had a knack for, like, creative writing, mm-hmm. even in school. Like, I never really was good at anything else, but I was always, English is the only, like, class, or writing was, like, the only class I never had, like, a bad grade in, just 'cause I enjoyed it. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question, but it's always come naturally to sort of say, just be creative with the way I say things. I think it's just one of those things that I was probably born with. And I do think that I retain moments and like scenes and stuff like that pretty well, to be able to sort of spit them back out later on when I'm writing a song.
Well, and it's just a gift too, to be like, it's just that you see the world in a different way than most people, because you're seeing the same things. You're just describing mm-hmm. them in such, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it's a mystery. Probably great to keep it a mystery a little bit too, you know, in your process.
Yeah, if I figured it out, I'd think about it too much. I don't know what I'm
doing. And then you'd probably overthink it in that next writing session.
Yeah, I'd be like, am I doing the thing? Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Keep on keeping on.
That was the funny thing in listening to Unapologetically Country as Hell, like that song in particular, all I could think about was my cousins that I've already mentioned in like a little town in Kentucky that literally, and my brother, my brother has two farms and cows and chickens, and this is just a life he lives, and just unapologetically country. And I'm like listening to it, I was like, this is my family, which is part of what I love about it. I love, just like Hunter was saying, like the relatability and how you write and the music. And I love this entire record, honestly. If we just want to get into talking about the whole album.
Ashley's from Kentucky, I'm from Alabama, and you're from Mississippi. So we're all like, you know,
we've got Tennessee surrounded.
Yeah, yeah. We do.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate it. That, you know, I do. I know this record was a little more serious in a way, and a lot of more serious subject matter. But when it comes to stuff like Where You At and Unapologetically, I do, you know, I lived it, and I know those kind of people, and to a certain extent, I am that person, so I definitely feel like I know how to speak that language pretty well.
Also, that was a new thing for me in that song, and I guess in our book, this is your latest single, so we'll just go with it. You saying that song, I got directions to a honey hole that I'll never tell, and I'd never heard about a fishing spot called that. So I got to say,
really, a honey hole?
No, but I looked. Okay, so I learned some things googling it though. There's a new restaurant outside of Nashville called the Honey Hole. And the Urban Dictionary has some really interesting entries for honey hole.
I'm gonna look it up. I want to hear it. I want to hear them.
I love, Hunter, I love that you've done a deep dive on honey hole.
Well, I just went and got my hair cut this morning, and I was like, I bet Urban Dictionary has some.
Oh, you know they do. Honey hole is the best.
Yeah, I don't know if Ashley can take it.
Oh, stop. Listen, this could go a lot of different directions, though. So
it could. I could.
We'll probably have to put in a warning on this episode, but go ahead, Hunter.
Well, hey, let's do talk about your latest single, because I was texting with Lauren Elena yesterday and showing her pictures of my dogs. I think she's going to come have a play date with the dogs. But I said, hey, is there anything that you want me to ask that y'all are on One Beer Together? And she just wanted to know why she's your favorite female artist ever.
Because she's the only one that has the balls, or the female balls, to ask that question.
She said she was just kidding, but I was like, no, you're not.
Lauren is not kidding. No, she's not kidding.
Oh, man. She had so much to that song, man, just listening to her vocals.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about going in there with Devin and just how y'all kind of worked all the singing parts out on that.
Well, you know what's funny? And I wish I had a better story, but when we were cutting everything for Hicks Tape, I was on the road a lot, like a lot. And so only about half of the vocals that were done, and I can't name everybody, but Morgan, Tracy Lawrence, I think Jake Owen, there were a lot of people went in and I wasn't there. I was gone. I was out of town. And Lauren was one of those that was gone, Lauren and Devin both. But Joey Moy called me and just asked me kind of how we wanted to chop everything up, because I had already gone in and I just sang the entire song and all the harmonies just that we had it. And so I just told him that I wanted Lauren and Devin in the chorus, like in this weird way of like they are sort of the couple that the song is about, and they're singing the chorus, and then I'm the storyteller who's singing the verses. And then I just said, just have Lauren put her do her thing on it too, with all the all that crap, so she nailed it. They both nailed it. I mean, he called me later and was like, yep, they nailed it. It's gonna be perfect.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because I was trying to listen on my headphones, like, where is Hardy on, where are you on the chorus?
Yeah, I'm not really in there. I'm tucked way back.
Yeah, so I'm glad to understand.
Because you can hear Lauren.
Yeah, it's like well, he's surely generous giving it this entire song over on the chorus. there was a reason.
Yeah, there was. There was definitely a reason. It was like I wanted the two of them, you know, to be kind of the people going through the thing, you know.
Even as we're talking about Lauren, like, there are a few people with the powerhouse vocals that she has. Like, even listening through her new EP, I think she's vocally stronger than she's ever been.
Yeah, dude, I love her EP, by the way.
It's incredible.
I wrote a song on there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I wrote If I Was a Beer.
Oh my gosh. Okay, wait. Remind me, if I was a beer, I know it because I've listened to it.
But it's like if I was a beer, like I would be cold, and I would like have 11 of my friends, and they'd be ready to mess you up and all this. But I'm not like I'm a fine wine. You know,
that's
I'm
right. That's right.
Yeah. I wrote that with her about 6 months ago. It was a fun song. But no, I agree with you. She just keeps getting better. I mean, she's young too. Like, I'm pretty sure right. She's like 24, 25 or something like that. So like
25, 26 now probably. And like, she just, I think she's writing some of the best music she's ever written, and she's singing the best she's ever done.
Yeah. Every song, there's not a bad song in the bunch. I listened to that EP. She sent it to me before it came out, and I just called her and I said, dude, this is really, really, really good. I'm really proud of you.
Oh, that girl. We love her.
She's a trip. She's good friends with my girlfriend too. And every time they get together, I'm just like, oh God.
It's a lot.
Wait, your girlfriend's been beating you at a lot of ping pong. What's the current score?
You want me to tell you? Give me 10 seconds, I can actually tell you.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay.
42-7.
Wow, you suck.
No, that's the thing. I don't suck.
She's just that good.
I have people over here all the time. I beat people all the time. I can play, but she kills me. She's really, really good. She's the best ping pong player that I personally know. Because everybody I've played, especially if I've played a lot, I've been able to beat at least once. And I mean, her included. But, you know, I'm 42 divided by 7 is what, like 6 or
7.
Something like that? Yeah,
7. No, wait, 6.
I don't do mental math.
That's terrible. They were all like, wait a second.
So, yeah.
Whatever. I can't do quick math today. It's too 42, late in the day.
42? Wait, 7?
6 times 7 is 42.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
So she beats me 1 out of every 6 times.
That was embarrassing for all of us, actually, right there.
I already said I wasn't good at math, so I don't feel
it's
bad.
But if it's divisible by 7, I'm going to know it, because on my dogs, I'm constantly being like, well, their human age is like times 7. So, you know, like.
That's true.
You know, so I'm always thinking that's about it. True. With. Do you have any pups?
I do, but it's kind of a long story. I got this dog without telling my parents when I moved up here. And I had her for like 6 or 7 months before they even found out. And she was mine for like 3 years. And then I started going on the road with this guy, CJ Solar. I started playing bass for him. And I asked my parents if they would keep my dog back in Mississippi for a while I toured with him. And then they never gave her back.
Yeah.
They fell in love with her. And anyway, but my parents live here now. And so they just have her. But she comes out here all the time, and she'll stay with me. It's like we split custody over my dog.
So at least it worked out. It wasn't like,
oh no. Yeah. I'm not so irresponsible that I would just like have to give my dog away or like never. Yeah. 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 I mean,
no, like, yeah. Especially if your parents were still in Mississippi, you wouldn't get to see her that much. So
no, I see. Yeah. And I see her all the time. Like,
that's good.
2, 3, 4 times a week. Yeah.
So now she's more like a sister.
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Somewhat. Or a niece or nephew.
Yeah.
Totally.
I want to go back to the ping pong. So are you guys having ping pong tournaments now, or is that in the future?
You mean like with a bunch of people or just she and
yeah.
I?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you guys could play doubles, honestly.
Yeah, we could. The space that the table's in is kind of tough for doubles. You kind of have to have a lot of room, but it's possible. I don't know. I hadn't really thought about it. That could be our next thing, though. We like to throw parties. We had a big Halloween party last year, and we just had a COVID-friendly –
distanced
beer, socially distanced beer Olympics last week, and it was really, really fun. And I don't know, maybe a ping pong tournament is next. I think that's a good idea.
Beer Olympics.
I mean, a socially distanced beer Olympics is a great idea for this time of year, especially right now. It's so perfect in Nashville.
Wait, what were the games?
The weather.
Beer Olympics.
Okay, so we had a relay race. We had and the relay race was a three-legged race, right, down to the thing and back. And then when you got done with that, you had to take a cornhole bag, and both of your teammates had to make it. You didn't have to make it, but you had to make it on the board, and the board was significantly far, and we had a bunch of boards lined up. And then I hung a bunch of donuts from strings that were socially distanced properly apart, and you had to eat a donut off a string, and then you had to run over and you had to drink the beer in the cup and do a flip cup, and then once your cup was flipped, you had to run across the finish line, and we would just eliminate teams every time. There was a water balloon tall. Oh, and part of that relay race was that by the end of it, you had to finish your beer. You had to chug it after a donut. Actually, you had to finish it before the foot race part, which is pretty tough because like it, you didn't have that far to go now that I think about it.
But so you're running. So you drink the beer before you ate the donut.
Yeah. Right before.
Okay. Full. Yeah. So you're running full of beer and you ate a donut. Didn't anybody hurl?
Nobody puked. I thought I was going to puke and I didn't do it.
Yeah.
But what's funny is I got food poisoning that night from Taco Bell because I was kind of drunk and then ate Taco Bell and I got food poisoning on a bus on the way to North Carolina.
Oh, wait.
One of the worst experiences I've ever had in my
life. Did you have to pull over at a lot of gas stations?
It was only this way. Okay. So I was able to stay on the bus, but it was I would put it in top three worst experiences of my life.
Yeah.
Literally. And that's saying I've had a pretty good life, but I mean, it was really, really bad. It was the worst food poisoning I've ever had by a landslide.
Wow.
But anyway, Beer Olympics. Yeah, it was really fun.
Who won the Beer Olympics?
So publisher Dane Schmidt and his girlfriend, who's also a publisher, Michelle Attardi. Won. And Callie and I competed. So we came in second and I didn't want to compete because I was like, if we win, we're going to win the thing we hosted and we have prizes, like we're gonna win the best prize, and so I was really, really glad that we lost, but I kind of hated that we even placed. I didn't want to place.
But you didn't like try and throw it at all just so you didn't get to first place?
Like I tried to throw the beer pong. The closing match was a beer pong match, and
I'm really good at beer pong. That actually is one of my gifts. Yeah, I call it a spiritual gift. Okay. But
it's like your spirit animal, but
yeah,
your spiritual gift.
Yeah,
or just like you're able to gift. Write songs. It's God given talent. Ashley's is
flip cups. Really, I'm really good at flip cups.
I've never been good at that. I just go and DJ when that happens. You know, I'm like, hey, let me go play your tunes. I'll be over here.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the All Our Favorite People podcast. If you like what you hear, go check out the All Our Favorite People community on Patreon. That's patreon.com/allourfavoritepeople. And for as little as $3 a month, you can help us keep the podcast growing as we add live shows and events.
We're also offering you exclusive access into planning episodes, as well as off-the-cuff interactive bonus content that we just can't fit into the show. You'll find out who's coming on the show first and possibly get a shout out on the podcast.
I don't know why I wanted to laugh at you just then. Check it out on Patreon. That's patreon.com/allourfavoritepeople.
So I do want to talk about the new
record. I was
record,
like, we need to talk about the record
Iraq,
a little bit more.
Which I keep calling A-Rock. Like
A-Rod?
Saying Iraq.
No, I think it's because with Chris Stapleton's songs from A-Room, you know, like that, those two albums he put out, because it's A Room from Sony? RCA. Yeah.
RCA, yeah.
So it's not Songs from a Room. It's Songs from A Room. Now that is
I'm an idiot. I don't think I ever picked up on it.
I didn't either.
Yeah, I picked up on it just because, you know, what came out, they were like, hey, when you're reporting on this, it's Songs from A Room.
Oh, okay.
So now that is transferred onto you. So it's A Rock.
That's fine.
Yeah, and I can't stop with, but man, this. I mean, you really lean into some guitars on this. Like, it really takes me to a rebellious metal place. So tell me about indulging, you know, getting in there and really amping the guitars up this time around.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we were going for. And I feel like as an artist, I'm getting closer and closer to, you know, my sound. And this being my first, like, real solo record, I just wanted to establish that. I wanted people to know kind of what I'm all about. And I wanted to be like a rock country artist, but not like I wanted to be an actual rock country artist. And I wanted it to sound like that, you know? So we just went for it. Joey and Derek Wells are super, they appreciate, or I guess they're not afraid. If I'm like, dude, make it even heavier, this and that, like they're like, hell yeah, let's do it. And we just kind of kept pushing the envelope, and especially like Boots, I think, was the first song off this record that we put out aside from One Beer, and that was like the perfect example of like this is, you know, this is who I am and this is what I want to say. And it, you know, but it was awesome, man. I mean, we had a blast dude making the record. Just every song, especially the really rocking songs, we were just like, I can't believe we're putting this out. Yeah. Like, this is some of the heaviest stuff ever in country, but I love it. I'm proud.
But it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, and at first it was surprising having heard, you know, like, you know, first taste of you was, of course, Rednecker, which I was like, yeah, that song is funny as hell. I mean, I just, that song makes, I mean, it's just put a big smile on my face. But it really, you know, it was kind of, at first it was like, oh, it's a surprise to hear it. But the more I listened to this record, I realized, you know, like, we were raised on Tim McGraw, and then for the past 10 years, like, Jason Aldean really took that electric guitar sound and pushed it and pushed it. So, you know, it's kind of like it's in the DNA of what you've come up listening to in the past.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I grew up, I didn't listen to country until I was like 16 or 17.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up country, but I didn't really care for it, to be honest. So I grew up on rock and roll. And everything from, you know, everything, all of it, every bit of it.
I say, who did you love rock and roll wise?
Well, when I was a kid, like Soundgarden, Chris Cornell, Audio Slave is still Chris Cornell. Even like the active rock bands in the early 2000s, like Puddle of Mud, Nickelback, Linkin Park was really big. I really was a big fan of Linkin Park. And then obviously a lot of Foo Fighters is one of my favorite bands. Zeppelin, obviously, just all the classic rock. I really like Def Leppard. Hysteria is one of my favorite records. I mean, it's just a mix of everything. But if it wasn't heavy, if it didn't make me want to like bang my head or run through a wall, I didn't like it. I mean, and I'm still to this day kind of like that. I don't really love like singer songwriter music or really soft music. I just want music to make me like make my heart start beating fast. And so I think that and that also comes with maybe me having an extremely addictive personality and other things. And I want to feel it. I want to feel every bit of it, everything it's got. But that is the music. The lyrics are different. You know, I have something different to say with the lyrics. But I think that the musically, that's the only thing that I really and truly know how to say. That's the most my truest and rawest creative self. Like, that's what I want to do. You know, that's the sound that I want to have for the 95% of it.
Yeah.
But I think that's what people really connect to because they feel like they know you.
Yeah. I think so too. Or at least they're getting there. You know, I don't know if I do think that this is the best, this record is the best that I could have possibly represented myself as an artist at this time. I do think I'll always continue to grow and to change. But I think for right now, I think that they're going to, this is as well as somebody that doesn't know me can know me through my music right now.
Well, and I feel like this, there was a really conscious decision for you for this record to be you as an artist and not having as many collaborations as you've done in the past.
Yeah. Cause I mean, Hixtape was nothing but that. And aside from One Beer, who we just brought that over, just, I mean, for the simple fact that it's like peaking at radio right now and or not peaking, but it's, and
well, I just top 10, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I wanted that song to be a part of this record because of that. But yeah, I'd done a whole thing of features. I did a thing with FGL, you know, One Beer's on the radio. So I needed people to hear me and only me and hear me grow a year from Rednecker and that sort of thing. I needed people to really get to know me, not Hixtape, not anything else, like you said.
If there was like one song off the record that you would say to people like, this is exactly me, like, what would you say?
I would say Boots for sure.
I love that song too.
That's the one I think that if a stranger was like, play me one song that like represents you the most, I think it would be Boots. And then if it was my songwriting, it would be a rock, yeah. I think.
I got to say though, I want to talk about, I had in my notes here, I love that you aren't afraid to play the villain on Boots. And then again, in Ain't a Bad Day, when you tell an angel to go to hell. Like, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, an artist is like, oh, I shouldn't say this or put me, you know, I just like I love in country songs when like, you know, they're out there doing the cheating, you know, I love, yeah, you're a bad guy here. So tell me about being able to put on that character and, it's a little bit of play acting, I guess.
Yeah. Some of it. Boots actually was kind of true, except I'll tell that story in a second, but, no, I just don't care. Like, and I don't mean that in a way of like apathetic. I just mean like, I'm not trying to hold back or if I want to play a certain character. I mean, Johnny Cash killed guys in his music. You know what I mean? He never killed anybody. Like, so I don't see the point in trying to not do that. If you want to say that, if that's something you want to say or, you know, talk about, then just do it. Boots was somewhat inspired from me and Callie were in New York. I just played this place called the Gramercy Theater.
Yep.
And it was one of the best shows ever. And we sold it out and after the show, we went to a couple bars and I was a bit overserved. And Callie and I are walking down the street and there was a big, huge pile of styrofoam and like styrofoam stuffed in trash bags on the side of the street. And I picked Callie up and I like kind of laid her over in the trash on the side of the street. And she got super pissed. And which I completely
understand naturally. Yeah.
And the rest of the night I was like, what are you so mad about? And so when we got back to the hotel that night, I still had the boots that I played my show in our own. And she was so pissed that I laid there on the bed and asked her if she would help me take my boots off. Cause my feet were so swollen. I had been in them for so long. And she was like, absolutely not. And so I woke up the next morning in my boots and my entire show outfit. And we were late to catch a train to Washington, D.C. So I had to just jump up and like go out the door in my same show. And I just had the thought of waking up in my boots. And I wrote that down.
But yeah. And a hotel room fit for a dog.
That's a different kind of walk of shame, you know?
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
She's such a sweetheart, though. Like the next day, she didn't like forgive me, but she knows I would have never done that if I hadn't have been completely and totally blackout. But yeah, so that song, I was definitely the villain in that song. It's not just like the song, but it's similar.
Well, and then Boyfriend was inspired by her, right?
Mm-hmm. We were in Clearwater, Florida on vacation for our 1-year anniversary, and we pick at each other a lot. And I said something about, I don't want to be your boyfriend anymore. And I can't remember who said it, but I think it was me. She kind of gave me a look and I was like, it's because I want to be your husband. And I was made a little moment out of it. But of course, 2 seconds went by and I was like, oh my God, like that's a great song idea. I need to write that down. And I got out of the pool and like wrote it down on my wet fingers on my phone. But she inspired that one too.
I got a question about a line in that song. You say in getting married in some out of town church in that song. Usually that for like a hometown church. What was the choice there for out of town?
You know, honestly, that I think is more of a church out in the country as opposed to a church.
Oh, okay. I tend to overthink
like
song
thinking
lyrics.
Like a neutral location kind of deal.
I was like, is this a destination wedding? Like, and where's this referenced in the lyric? You know, Randy Houser told me one time, he's like, Hunter, you're thinking too much. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, but if that's what you think it is, and if it doesn't contradict any of the other lyrics, then man, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's fine. I just wondered about that one.
It's what it means to you, Hunter.
Yeah. But now, I get it. I get it.
Okay, probably my favorite song on the record is Give Heaven Some Hell.
I'm sure
I'm not the first person that said that, though. But even just watching the video, and I think that's probably one of the things I appreciate about you most, aside from being an incredible songwriter and artist, is just the attention to detail in the videos that you create for these songs is incredible storytelling in and of itself.
100%. Like I was like blown away because in this day and age, it's kind of like getting ready for interviews. Sometimes it's like, I haven't seen any of these videos because I just listen to the songs, stream them. And man, just watching your videos back to back to back, I was like blown away your creativity that comes through in those. It was awesome.
I can't take credit for all of that. That's a lot of that is Big Loud and, the video guys. And I will say that, you know, I get with them beforehand and they'll give, you know, ideas and the main idea and, you know, we'll kind of give it back and stuff. But, just by all of that brainstorming together, we definitely come up with some pretty cool stuff. I will say Iraq was, 100% was, Ben Skipworth, who's a video guy, Big Loud. I do not take credit for that. That was all him, and that's one of the best. If I didn't write that song or anything, that's still one of the coolest videos I've ever seen.
Oh, it's so good. Like, seriously, we had CMA voting today, and I was all like, wait, is that up for video of the year? You know, but I was ready to vote for that for video of the year just because the storytelling through the video on top of what you'd already done with the song was just so masterful.
Mm-hmm.
Does it have to be a single to be nominated for that?
I'm not sure.
I'd have to go back and look at the bylaws.
Yeah.
Huh.
I can't remember.
Just curious.
Most of the time I can't remember the rules for the CMA voting until like I'm sitting there in each category voting and it tells you what the rules are. I'm like, otherwise I don't remember.
Right.
Anyway, just badass. Kudos on the videos.
Anyway, I love Give Heaven Some Hell, and that's just really what I have to say about that.
Thank you.
Like, that song is,
I get a message probably every hour on Instagram from somebody who's got a story with that song attached to it. So it's kind of a heavy thing to look at every single day, but I try to respond to everybody. And yeah, I mean, that song is kind of touching people on a level that I haven't been able to do yet, which is really cool. That's one of the main reasons, if not the number one reason I do this. And so that one's definitely getting to people.
But on the day you wrote that song, did you have any feeling that you're like, there's something really special about this particular song?
Oh yeah. Big time. We came up with that idea of writing Truck, which is the first song on the record.
Mm-hmm.
There was a line where it was like, I bet there's stories about his best friend that he can barely tell because he misses him like hell. And the original line was, he can barely tell because he's giving heaven some hell. And then me and Hunter and Ben looked at each other and we were like, we have to write Give Heaven Some Hell because we've never heard that title before. And that's one of those where you hear it and you know exactly what it's about.
Yeah.
So it was one of those where, and it doesn't happen a lot, but like, as you write the song, like you just get so excited because you can't believe like this is your song. Like it's, you know, everybody's throwing out these lines and you just keep putting it together. And like and then you go back and you listen to it and you really do feel like, I can't believe that I wrote this song and that I get to play the song. And I don't know. It's a weird kind of, not selfish, but a very like, I'm so happy that this is my song, like that I get to take credit for this because you're just so proud of it, you know? And that was probably number one on the list of songs that's happened.
Well, and I really appreciated just this. I first heard that song on the radio, or I guess it was on XM before the record came out, probably a few weeks ago. And about Give Heaven Some Hell, I just love that. It really, to me, it's great because I don't feel like songs about somebody who's passed on really celebrate their like humor or their lightness or like the fact that friendship.
Yeah.
There's something in that video and everything that feels like the friendship is still going on and they're still there with you, which is so awesome.
Mm. Yeah, and, totally.
I just, for me, it reminds me of my brother who we lost in 2017, and it was just like, whenever I do something real redneck or ornery, I'm like, where did that come from? It's like, oh yeah, that's just like my brother. I mean, so it was so funny. And he was a hellion. And so, I mean, just that song, like I made a playlist for his funeral. And right before we were going to start the service, we were like all gathered around his casket and the curtain was closed. And Mama Tried by Merle Haggard came on and we just all died laughing because it was like, it was always like, you know, we grew up Southern Baptist and like, you know, Mama's a teacher. And then David just raised hell, you know? So,
yeah.
So for me, it was like watching that video and listening to this song. It's like, man, I've lived that and I haven't really seen it captured quite that specifically as you do in that song, you know?
Yeah. You know, one cool thing about the video is that all of the guys carrying the casket, all eight of us are like really good friends. We're all really tight with each other. Those are all of my songwriter buddies. So the moment, all the camaraderie in the video and also that like heaviness of carrying a casket, that scene was very real because like as we were carrying that casket out of the church, we've never talked about it, but I know that every single person carrying that casket was thinking like, could this be one of us in a few years?
Yeah.
Mm.
And that's a really scary thought, but you could see that on everybody's face of like, this is really screwed up that we're doing this. And like, this could literally be one of us a week from now. You know what I mean? And so, and I only mean that because like the camera, like those are, you can feel that energy. Mm-hmm. I can see it coming off of us in that video and all the laughing and everything was real. None of it was forced because we all knew each other and we were just telling real stories. And so just everything about that video is really special.
it just makes me think about, like, with everything going on in the world right now, I think like if there's ever been a year that it's apparent that I'm like, we never know what can happen. And just to be grateful for every moment we have with the people we love and staying true to that, like, cause we really don't know.
No.
And so I think this year has taught me probably, I mean, a lot of things, but not to take this life every day, you know, a day for granted or a minute for granted, and those people that I love. Like, as you were talking about that, that's what it was making me think of.
Yeah, that's the truth. I mean, I think everybody has realized or understood a version of what you just said this year. I definitely have.
What do you feel like you're most grateful for right now?
Definitely time with people I love, like my girlfriend and my parents and my family. But, you know, honestly, the biggest one, it made me grateful for my fans and for selling out shows and all that, because that was instantly taken away and I took it for granted.
Yeah.
And I just, like, it feels like a dream now to be able to walk out to, like, a, you know, 1,000 people or whatever. And, like, that just seems so far away and so not real. And it definitely made me appreciate and want that again so bad.
And that's been a theme. So far this season, we've had Bear from Need to Breathe and then Caitlin Smith. And now you've all put out records during quarantine that are made for arenas that were made, like, y'all expanded into this, you know, bigger sound. So I just imagine that, like for me, listening to A Rock, the record, I was like, oh man, he's got to be dying to play this in an arena.
Yeah, totally. One day, but
good Lord willing. You had just sold out Nashville right before we went to quarantine, right?
Yeah, Cannery. It was in February. And then we did that, and then we did two shows with Cole Swindell, and then we headlined a show in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and that was it. That was the last one. We were supposed to be in Macon, Georgia, and New Orleans the week after that, and then Australia the week after that. And it's crazy to think about that show in Pennsylvania. Like, never saw it coming. Never knew that would be for probably an entire year that would be the last show that we would play.
I can't wait till we can all be together again at a concert. Like, I went to church for the first time in a building on Sunday night for the first time in, what, 6 months or whatever it's been. And we were distance and masked. And I'm like, it was so good for my heart to be in that room with people. And for a minute, I was like, this gives me hope that we can get back to concerts again sometime soon. Like,
yeah. Well, you know what? We have a show coming up in a week.
You do?
Yeah, in Rome, Georgia. It's a social distance show, but there's going to be like 5,000 people there.
Dang.
That's incredible.
Morgan Wallen is headlining, and it's like 2 days. And I'm praying to God that everything goes smooth, because, like, if we can prove that it works, that's the first step of going back, you know?
Well, I feel like, and you know, they're starting to do shows the Rhyme. And I was talking to my parents the other day. They're in Birmingham, Alabama. They're like, we're going to a play. And I'm like, what? Okay. I guess they all sit in their pod with a mask on, you know, sit with their people. Hopefully.
Whatever it takes right now.
Yeah, I'll play for like a preschool right now.
socially distance at a preschool.
Let's talk about the songs you can't do for the preschool. I would leave out. You've got some explicit lyrics on this record.
I do.
Yeah.
That's true.
Like, awesome. Yeah, awesome. Which I love, you know, just, you know, one of the things that with you that I really like, and I feel like, you know, when Morgan came along and then Luke Combs and Party does this as well, it's just really refreshing for me to hear in your writing that, you know, a real working class kind of approach to writing again, because so much of what I love about country music is that, you know, when I listen to Merle Haggard and Jones and that kind of stuff, like in the tradition, is that perspective. And sometimes I feel like that can get lost. So when I heard he went to Jared, lost my damn mind. So this is on Hicks tape, but I just loved it because it was such a brilliant hook.
Brilliant.
He went to Jared, and I don't know. There's something about it that I just miss. Like this kind of like, you know, Johnny Paycheck, take this job and shove it kind of situation, because us Southerners, you know, when we're out there, we can also get a little ornery
Yeah.
And I love that you tap into that. So thank you.
Yeah. I grew up, and there's 7,000 people just like me in my hometown. And there are, 100 towns just like that in Mississippi. And then there's 12 other states in the South. It's just, that stuff never went away. They just quit singing about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm glad that there's some guys that are just kind of willing to sing that again. Cause dude, people are living that life every day. They're doing it right now and they're not going to go anywhere ever. So, I mean, why not, sing to them?
Yeah.
I got something real serious I want to talk about.
Okay.
The recoupables.
Oh now, yeah. Let's talk
this,
about this.
This is just, is it a baseball team, softball team? I mean, it's softball. Like a rec softball. Yeah. Rec league.
Yeah. Beer league.
Oh, it's a beer league.
Well, not technically, but that's more what fitting. You call it. That's okay. That's kind of what we drink beer before, and we'll drink a couple during or whatever. It's very, very relaxed.
The fact that it's like what you, Jordan Davis, Morgan, who all's on the team?
So it's me, Jordan. Let me think about the infield. Me, Jordan, Morgan, Jameson, Rogers, Ernest, Hunter Phelps, Jeb Gibson, Chris Lane, John Langston, and a guy named Tyler Carlson, who I believe does like some security for us. And Riley Green came to the first game, but we haven't heard from him since, so I'm not going to count him. but everybody is an artist, I think, except for Tyler. So Jameson was texting me. He's the one that put it together. And he said, what's a funny like artist name? And I said, what about the recoupables? And
I mean,
went for it.
I saw the name. Jordan Davis posted something the other day and I saw the name and I was like, oh gosh, this is genius. So did you guys have like tryouts for the team or just everybody just automatically got on? How'd this work?
No, I think Jameson, he's the one that got it together. And he was like, who can we ask that we know everybody is an athlete, like there's not a weak link. And I knew that like Ernest played in college, Morgan played or was about to play in college, Chris played in college, Jameson played in college, Jordan Davis, I had seen videos of him hitting baseballs. It happened the way it happened. Everybody just turned out to be really good and we're just beating the crap out of everybody we're playing. And it's awesome. It's like, really fun.
Y'all are what? I saw like 4-0 right now or something.
4-0. We beat every team we play by about 10 points. Which is 10 runs, which is awesome.
I can only imagine the amount of entertainment that happens on that field and in the dugout.
Yeah. It very seriously, but not like in a serious manner, but like we're out there to win, we want to win and it's awesome. You guys should come. Our next game will be, I'll text you guys before.
I would love to come. We can make signs. Like what are we allowed to do?
Whatever you want. Acceptable. The last time we were there, the only people that were there were my parents and my girlfriend in the crowd. So there's plenty of room for you guys. I mean, it really is fun to watch. It really, really is. And we cut up out there and it's really, really awesome. So I'll text y'all myself and let you know what time it is.
Okay, please do.
Oh, I'm in. Like
I could bring my boombox, play some tunes in between innings. Yeah. I like to DJ at these
It reminds me of when I played kickball in a rec league and we were super competitive.
Yeah.
And at that time, for some reason, my car was in the shop and my cousin that owns a car dealership had given me the red family van that said the A team on the side.
That's
so
badass.
Then I just drove everyone to the games in the red A team minivan.
Dang, that's awesome. I kind of want one of those like Ford or Chevy vans like that and then jack it up on like big mud tires. I think it would look kind of cool.
It'd look great in a video.
Yeah, it would. It definitely would.
It'd look great on the way to the field.
Yeah. So Hardy, I got to ask. So there was a photo that was posted of you playing golf with Morgan, Jake Owen, I think Darius.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What were you wearing? What was that outfit you had on?
Dude, I like to be loose when I'm playing golf, man. I had a long sleeve, like Under Armour thing, because it was kind of cool. And then I have like a Mississippi State pullover.
Okay.
And just my golf pants, man. I just like to be a little baggy.
Okay. Well, it looked like all one piece in the photo, which I was wondering.
Oh, no.
The guy who cuts my hair was wearing coveralls today, like fashion coveralls. And I was like, is this a new trend I got to get on?
No. Everything was just the same color, and it was baggy, so it looked like it all flowed together.
Well, I think coveralls would be a good look, though.
You think so? Maybe. Yeah. I could find the right ones. I'd rock it.
Get a name patch on it.
You just can't wear them on the golf course.
I don't think you physically can swing with coveralls on. You got to think, when you go up like this, so does the rest of the...
No, I'm talking about on stage. I'm talking about stage wear here.
Shoot, I might. That sounds awesome, actually.
I know, right?
Yeah, I'm serious. I'll do it.
Especially if they're made of a stretchy material and like you can move in them.
Yeah, totally.
Like a soft t-shirt. It's a great idea, Hunter.
Yeah.
So I've heard a rumor that there's going to be a TV show about God's Country, which is the song you co-wrote and have won all the awards and stuff with Blake Shelton. Is there a TV show happening with that?
I saw an article, but that's all I know. Okay. I don't know anything else. But I think it was a pretty official article, right?
It was official?
Yeah, it was like a – I can't remember what it was, but my dad probably sent it to me because he sends me every – if I swear he has a Google alert.
Well, I think I found your dad's Twitter because it's like the official – your dad's Twitter operates as the official news feed for you, I feel like. Is that him?
That's probably
him. It was awesome. I was like doing research and I was like, I think I found his dad.
It's like it's a normal proud parent.
Yeah, they're very proud. They're
a proud parent.
I can't find it. But yeah, the article I think was not even a rumor. I think it was like fact. I hope that they use God's Country for the theme song, because I think that's a pretty good paycheck depending on where the
I feel like they'd have to.
You would think so, right?
Yeah, you would think so.
Yeah, we'll see.
Oh, it's gonna be a drama. I found it on Deadline, which is like for real for real.
There you go.
It's gonna be a drama.
Tell us about it, Hunter.
Is it a network thing or no?
Well, it will be with Universal Television, so that leads me to believe it would be with NBC. Also, you know, since Blake Shelton owns NBC with The Voice. Oh, yeah. Patriarch of a hardworking Midwestern farm family dies mysteriously in a car accident.
Yeah, that's right.
His grown
that's
children right. discover he now. Was keeping a devastating secret that they could never have imagined. This could be like my favorite TV show of all time, Dallas, all over again.
What, is that the Who Killed JR thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was before I was born, but...
I know. This is like the first show that I remember being on TV as a kid, so I went back and watched it all. Let me just tell you, it's worth your time.
You know what's funny? Jameson just sent me a text and said that the... That's amazing that the Recoupables made Country Air Check today. There's literally a picture, and it says, Add News Bears. And it has like a thing. That's incredible.
That's amazing. Y'all could become like the mascots of Music Row now.
I think so.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day when I was leaving. I was like, man, we're going to look back on this. And because this is going to be one of those things where we're like, because next year, if everything goes back to normal, like we're never going to, that we're until we're 50, we're never going to have time to do this ever again.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, it's really, that is one really cool thing that COVID has allowed, especially now that the transitional period between we're not playing shows, but you can kind of do some more things now. We do all get to see each other, which is very rare. You know, it doesn't happen a lot throughout the year.
Thank God. It's just something else to be grateful for sure. Yep,
that's right.
For sure. What does that feel like to think about God's Country inspiring a television show?
Pretty wild. I mean,
I freaking love that song. Like when it hit number one, I was like, I think I text Devin. I was like, dude, like I was just so excited. It's so good. Love Devin. So it was fun to be excited for him and for y'all. But
just the whole thing behind that song was crazy. I don't even know how to process the fact that it's inspired a TV show. I literally don't even know where to start, but. Everything about that song is like, you know, it happened. We wrote it on like a Thursday and they cut it on a Tuesday. And like, then it was literally on the radio like a month, less than a month later.
It's nuts.
And then it was number one, like 12 weeks later. It was just like everything happened within a span of a few months. And then ended up being one of the biggest songs of the year. And it all happened so fast that I swear sometimes I feel like I haven't processed that whole situation yet. Cause it's just crazy.
You know what's so funny? As you were talking about that, it made me think of last year. I was out on the road with Garth, hosting a bunch of stuff for his SiriusXM channel. Yeah, Garth
right.
Brooks.
Yeah, Garth, yeah. Who, right?
Which, yeah, you know, all
not
of those
Garth
shows.
Garth from Wayne's World.
Yeah. Excellent. that every one of those shows is like 70,000 people sold out. And so I can't remember what city we were in, but Blake showed up and played God's Country acoustic. And the entire arena, I'm pretty sure I filmed it and have it on my phone somewhere.
It was a stadium, wasn't it? We're talking stadium. Yeah.
I can't remember what stadium we were in. But I mean, it was the coolest thing to watch him sing the song acoustic.
Damn, play it acoustic, I want to see that.
And I'll try and find it and send it to you. And watch the entire stadium go bananas. And the song had just come out. It hadn't been out that long, I don't think. But it was so fun. I hadn't even thought about that until you just said that. But it was so cool.
I would love to see that.
Let's see if I can find that.
I got to say, though, like watching your videos, though, I think this is something that could happen with some of your other songs, too. Like, I don't think this is a one-off because, you know, even One Beer, I was not expecting the whole storyline, you know, of the firefighter, you know, happening.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so just the cinematic quality of your songs and then the videos. I just, you know, this could happen some more.
Oh, man. Hardy, this has been so much fun.
Yeah, man.
You guys are freaking great.
Coming on and hanging.
Yeah, I just love what you're doing. And glad to have your voice in country music because, you know, it connects with what I love about the genre. Your voice fits in and I love it, you know, historically. And I'm a history nerd.
And we're coming to the game. So just let us know when it is.
Okay, I will.
And I'm going to find that video. I'm going to find that Blake video.
Yeah, I want to see it.
They had Bose speakers on sale at Costco. I got to go. I'll go back and get me one.
I'll bring one if you don't want to buy one. I've got like five around here.
I see like a Say Anything thing kind of happening. Like Hunter's just smaller, carrying it on his shoulder. Smaller. Yeah.
Okay. I love it.
Awesome, dude.
Oh, love it. Thanks, Hardy.
Dude, good to see y'all. Hopefully in person soon. Hopefully next week.
Lord willing.
Love it. Okay, so you're going to get the boombox and you'll be DJing the game.
Yeah.
I'll make some signs.
Make some signs. This is going to be so much fun. Thank you so much, Hardy, for the invite. I cannot wait.
We can't wait. And I've got to find that video for him. I was thinking about it this morning of Blake Shelton singing God's Country.
I know. Did you ever get the video for Caitlin Smith?
No, I have not done that yet either. So it's on my to-do list.
You got to really follow through on these promises because they're on tape, Ashley.
Okay. Ow.
They're on tape.
They're on tape. You've got to follow through. There's been some other things going on. I just know it's going to take a deep dive into my photos and videos for a minute. So I'm trying to allot the right amount of time to go find it. I will put that on my list for today or tomorrow. So
let me know because I worry about it every time I listen, you know, to these new promises made. I'm like, got to follow through here at all our favorite people, you know, trustworthy.
You're trying to hold me accountable. My accountability partner in my video retrievals.
Yes, honey.
Oh, you guys, go follow Hardy on social media. You will not be disappointed, I promise. Also, make sure you check out his new album, A Rock, which is out now anywhere you get music. You can follow us on social media at All Our Favorite People. You can find me at Ashley Eicher. You can find Hunter at Nashville HK. And, you know, if you've got a minute and you want to go subscribe or rate and review, we would appreciate it.
Go ahead and take the time to just write a few lines about what you thought of this show and how you enjoyed it. And if you didn't like it, then just, you know, refrain. Thanks.
Yeah, or just send us a direct message and tell us what your beef is and we'll address it later. We'll take your direct messages. Yeah, maybe like in the time that I'm going to spend finding these videos I've committed to, like, you know, if you guys want to go.
Yeah.
Write a review.
We
love you. We appreciate it.
Awesome.
We are so ridiculous. Okay. Hope you guys have a great week. We love you and we will see you next week.